Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Jerry Savinsky. It was presented in October of 2006. The title of the message, The Return of the Lord.
Prophecy means to foretell a coming event that God says will take place. There's two things God cannot do. God cannot die. He is eternal. And second of all, God cannot lie. Titus 1:2 says, "And hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began." So whenever God makes a statement and God says, it will happen, you put it down, it will happen. Now, I want to explain to you what we're talking about this evening. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born in a small town called Bethlehem. He lived on this earth for 33 years. He then was crucified on the cross. He literally died. His body was taken off the cross, placed in the tomb. The tomb was sealed for 3 days and three nights. Then Jesus Christ arose from the grave. He stayed on this earth for 40 days, showed his body, this resurrected body, to over 500 men. And they talked with him. Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way?" Second of all, they watched him eat food. Luke 24:42 through 44, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And so they talked with him. They watched him eat food. However, there's one disciple who said, "I'll not believe that Jesus Christ arose from the grave until I can take my fingers and run my fingers through the holes in his hands, and take my hand and run it to the side with a spear pierced his side. I'll not believe until I could do that." And so one day Jesus Christ appeared. In John 20, 27 through 28, we read, "Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." He saw the holes and the riven side of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that body, the Bible says, he ascended up into heaven. Acts 1:11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So the body of Jesus Christ in heaven tonight is a body of flesh and bones. The riven side and the holes in his hands will be there for all eternity. And my friend, the Bible says that one day he will return back to this earth. And when he does, there'll be a great separation between two kinds of people. And you are going to be one or the other. And therefore, that leads us to our text. Romans 14, and look at verse 11 and verse 12. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us should give account of himself to God." When Jesus Christ returns back to this earth, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, "And we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Look at me. a twinkling of an eye is quicker than a man can snap his fingers. When this event happens, it'll happen that quickly. And the Bible tells you exactly what will transpire. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17, the Word of God says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Which means this: if Christ returns tonight, all of those who've died in Jesus Christ, they will first of all go up in the air. Those of us which are alive who know Christ as our Savior, we will join them and go in the air and meet the Lord. However, it means all of those who've never received Christ as their Savior, they will remain behind on this earth. There will be a great division among humanity. And this evening, I want to show you briefly from the Word of God what happens with those who go in the air and what happens with those who stay behind on this earth. First of all, look in verse 12. Let me show you the singleness of this occasion. For the Bible says, "So then, every one of us." Look here, Christian, I want to address you first. If you're saved this evening, are you aware that one day you will stand as an individual before the Lord Jesus Christ? We somehow get the impression or the idea there are 10 million people in front of us and Jesus Christ is 5 miles way up there and we are looking and pushing heads just to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Where'd you get that nonsense from? That's not Bible. The Bible says, "So then every one of us." This means tonight, I will stand personally before my Savior. And sir, if you're saved, you'll stand personally before the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Therefore, we see the singleness of this occasion. But then second of all, observe the soberness of this event. Back in verse 12. "So then every one of us shall give account of himself." Stop right there. If there's anything that should sober your life as a child of God, is that one day you'll give account of how you've lived your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever God saves you, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Christ is the foundation of salvation. Without Christ, there's no hope. And when Jesus Christ is the foundation of your life, then the Word of God says there's one or two ways you could build upon that foundation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 12, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Automatically, there are two kinds of materials. One is silver, gold, precious stones. One is wood, hay, and stubble. What's this referring to? It's referring to works, not to save you, but works that you build upon Jesus Christ after God saves you. The wood, the hay, is stubble, is serving Jesus Christ with a wrong motive. It's serving Jesus Christ because you want human recognition. You want man's applause. You want man's approval. What is the gold, the silver, the precious stone? It's serving Jesus Christ out of a heart of sheer love. Minutes ago, I met a couple in South Carolina who were missionaries to Africa. And while they were in Africa, John and Elizabeth Harneman had three beautiful young ladies, three little girls. And two of the little girls contracted malaria and they died. and they buried the two little girls in Africa. Then John and Elizabeth, their health broke. They had to come back to America. They were pastoring a church in South Carolina. At that time, their last daughter, whose name was Esther, was a very attractive teenage girl around 16 years of age. I stood in their kitchen talking with John and Elizabeth. Esther is by my side, and I turned to John and Elizabeth because I was really searching. And I said, John and Elizabeth, I want to ask you a question. How could you stay in Africa after you knew your two girls contracted malaria and died? And you knew right here, Esther could have contracted malaria and she could have died as well. What kept you in Africa? Elizabeth, the mother, looked at me and said, Jerry, the love of Christ constrained me. The love of Christ constrained me. You know something, congregation? Why am I here in Guam? To try to impress you with my Bible knowledge? Am I here trying to build a name? Or am I here because I want to serve Christ with a heart of true love and devotion? Why are you here tonight and serving Jesus Christ in Guam? What is your motive? What is your intent? Are you aware that one day you'll stand there and give account of your life to Jesus Christ? And the most sobering thought that should dawn upon you is I've got to be careful how I live my life. And I've got to realize the right motive. I serve you, Lord, because I love you. And if no one ever recognizes me, I serve you out of sheer love. The Bible says this ought to sober your life. But then third of all, go back to our text. Let me show you the sovereignty of the person you will meet. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now I want to stop here and say something which needs to be preached. The average child of God has the idea when he meets God, he'll meet an angry God who's been upset with his life. And that's nowhere to be found in the Bible. Nowhere is that taught. Now, when I left to go to college, and by the way, I was scared half to death to go to college. My people were coal miners and moonshiners and fighters, and we had all kinds of problems, and I was the first Savinsky ever to go to college. I'm telling you the truth, I was petrified. I'll never forget, before we left, my mother and my father, we got on our knees, we prayed together. I hugged my mother and she was crying, and my dad shook my hand, and I left to go off to college. And I'll never forget the first time I came home. When I came back to West Virginia, in Garcia, I was singing the national anthem, Country Road Take Me Home. I really was. And I'll never forget, I ran in the house, and I ran out of the car, and there was my dad. And look at me, this is what happened. When I came out of the car, I start walking up, and there's my dad. My dad started walking with his hand outstretched like this, and he said, Hey, Jerry, good to have you home, son. So glad you're here. And every time I would go home, every time I got out of the car, and my wife could verify this, here's my dad, always with this big smile, walking to me, Hey, Jerry, so good to have you, son. Glad to have you home. I never went home once and had my dad standing in the front yard with his arms crossed, frowning at me, saying, Well, boy, by the time you got home, what's wrong with you? No, it was always this. Hey, Jerry, we're so glad to have you home, son. You know what, congregation? It's going to be a joyous occasion when we see our Heavenly Father. 2 Peter 1:7, who have not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Revelation 22:4 says, and they shall see his face. Now I'm going to tell you what, child of God, the only regret on our part is this. Why didn't I give more of my life to you, Lord? Why was not I more sold out in devotion to you? You young men go back to the islands You young girls, go back to your islands that God has raised you. And if no one ever knows you, young man, no one ever knows you, young lady, serve him out of a heart of sheer love because your Father loves you. You are on his mind all the time. And those of you here in Guam, I would pray to God this truth would dawn upon you. I've got one life for God to use me. I can't waste this life. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Why? Because one day I'll see and meet my Heavenly Father. But now would you all take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 20. As you go to Revelation chapter 20, what about those who stay on this earth? What about you, lady, if you're not a Christian this evening? Or what about you as a teenager, or you as a man? What if you do not know what it means to meet Christ in the air, and you remain behind on this world? Look at me. When God takes his people out of this world, there's going to be 7 years when God brings his judgment upon this earth. New Jersey has just passed the same-sex marriage, something God condemns. God has always condemned. And I'm telling you what, our nation is so corrupt with drugs. The political realm is absolute chaos and corruption. It seems like the moral fiber of our nation is crumbling. But I'm telling you one thing. There's a day when God will judge this world. Listen, please, what the Bible says of this coming day of God's judgments. Isaiah 24:1, the Lord maketh the earth empty. Isaiah 26:21, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Zephaniah 1:18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Joel 1:15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. There'll be 7 years when God brings judgment upon this earth. When God brings the judgment, and I cannot go through all of the horrifying things that will take place, except to say, there'd be 7 seals in a book, and if every seal is broken, there'll be a specific judgment upon the earth. After that, there'll be 7 trumpets that are blowing, and every time a trumpet is blowing, there will be another 7 judgments upon the earth. And then at the close of that, there will be 7 bowls when God pours out each individual bowl of God's wrath upon this earth. Revelation 8:13 says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. It's coming, my friend. This is not a scare tactic. This is Bible. Mankind has often wondered, when is God going to bring the judgments? Malachi 2:17 says, where is the God of judgments? And you may ask, well, Jerry, when will this happen? My friend, it's going to happen like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, the Bible says in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Therefore, God said in Genesis 6:3, yet his days shall be 120 years. 2 Peter 2:5 says, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Now, Noah built the ark, but Noah was also a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, while Noah was building the ark, Noah preached, get ready for God's judgments. But the Bible shows you how the people responded. Matthew 24:38, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And when God put them in the ark, the Bible says in Genesis 7:16, and God shut the door. And when God shut the door, then God's judgment was ready to fall. And who knows what night God's going to shut the door and his judgment will fall. For Genesis 7:19 says, "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth until all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered." And God's judgment fell. And my friend, when God brings judgment upon this world, then at the close, we find where all of mankind will stand. And would you not look at Revelation 20 and verse 12? "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now, everyone look at me and listen very carefully. If you're unsaved tonight, you're not a Christian, do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you aware that God has a book on your life? You mean God knows me? God knows you so well that God could do this. He could pick any person out upon the face of the world and show you every word you've ever spoken, every thought you've ever thought, every step you've ever taken, and every deed you've ever done. You mean God knows me, Jerry? Listen, please, to the Bible. Romans 2:16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, he knows your secrets." Matthew 10:30, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows the most minute thing about you." Psalm 147, verse 4, "He telleth the number of the stars. He called them all by their names." Astronomers tell us there are trillions of stars in the universe. And God knows every star by name. And God knows you. And I've often visualized a scene. Can you imagine you who never thought you'd stand before a holy God, standing there, and a God who has a book on your life and knows everything about you, and he begins to have your life read, and you stand there before a holy God, and you say, oh God, I did not know that you knew me, but it's too late. Or man stands there, and as his life is read and all the perversion and wickedness of his heart is exposed, he says, oh God, I plead insanity. You will never pull that on God. You'll never do that. When a person stands at the great white throne judgment, he is lost for all eternity. You hear me? There's no hope for anyone who stands at the great white throne judgment. Now, how do I know that? Look at verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." A lot of theology is going to change when a person faces the reality of a holy God at the great white throne judgment, and then one day has his life cast into a lake of fire. How long? Forever and forever and forever. Because in the Greek language, which the New Testament is written in, it's a continuation with no end at all, forever and forever and forever. And if I were you this evening, I want to know, how could I get ready to meet this holy God? God always has given an answer for man in his judgments. In Noah's day, God provided the ark. Today, God has provided his son. And therefore, this evening, you need to recognize you've got a decision to make that no one can make for you. And I want to show you what that decision is. Would you go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, please? And when I stop reading, would you as a congregation read the next two words out good and loud, okay? And when I stop the second time, would you read the rest of the verse out good and loud? Share your Bible with those beside you. I want everyone to participate. When I stop reading, would you read the next two words out good and loud, okay? John chapter 3 and verse 36. Okay? "He that believeth on the Son hath" what? All right, look here. Now look at me. You mean, Jerry, if I believe on Jesus Christ, that I have everlasting life? Yes. I thank God at the age of 17, I came to Jesus Christ. I was a religious young man. I was baptized. I prayed every night. But I did not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that night, as a religious young man, I believed on Jesus Christ. And guess what He gave me? He gave me everlasting life. Do you think God loves me any more than you? God says in Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. God loves you, lady, as much as He loves me. Sir, He loves you as much as He loves me. He's no respecter of persons. That's Bible. However, let's say that one day, when I heard about Jesus Christ, I said at the age of 17, no, Jesus, I want no part of You. I reject You. Don't bother me. And I rejected Christ. Okay? When I stop now reading, you read the rest of the verse out loud, okay? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? Okay? The wrath of God abideth on him. Which means this: rejection of Jesus Christ one day means a person will face the wrath of God. Does God love you? Yes, God loves you. There's no greater expression of God's love than what He did for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You come to Him, He gives you everlasting life. You reject Him, you'll face the wrath of God. And my friend, this evening, one day Jesus will return. The people of God will go up. Those who don't know Him will stay behind on this earth. Jesus Christ is the answer. If you ever escape the wrath of God to come, you've got to come to Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled The Return of the Lord from Evangelist Jerry Savinsky. It was originally presented in October of 2006 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented in conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.